Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the gospel lesson today in Matthew 22 is also recorded in Mark. So we've just heard the Matthew version. Now let's hear the Mark version. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them, reasoned together, perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, and asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe says to Jesus, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." So when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And then after that, no one dared question him. And then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said, 'By the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore David himself calls him Lord. How is he then also his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. This gospel lesson comes around every year at this Sunday. And most every year, we hear the first part, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And we give thanks because of the second part of this gospel lesson. Makes it so. Makes it very clear. And our love for God and our love for a neighbor is based on the fact that Jesus was not only David's son, according to his lineage, born in the kingly line, but he's also God's son. And like we'll sing in the last hymn, "Son of God and Son of Man." There's a mystery there. But it's this God who's come in the form of Jesus as David's son, who speaks these words to us and lifts up above all of the sludge and voices and commandments and precepts and noise of the world, and pulls together all of the Old Testament and the New, and asks the question, "What is it that pleases God most?" What pleases God most? We, his children, we're way closer than this scribe, but we give thanks that the scribe was in the presence of Jesus, because it's through Jesus that we hear and know and love these things. It's to love God. But we're broken. We don't have the fear of God or the love of God or the trust of God, not in our minds, not with our strength, not on our own. And so we look and figure in the rest of the scriptures, well, how does this equation fit together? Well, it's not that we love God first, but that He first loved us. Now the equation is relaxed a little. Our life in God's presence or before Him is not based on us first, but it's based on this Son of God, this Son of Man, who came and loved His Father with all of His heart, with all of His soul, with all of His mind, and all of His strength, and then also loved His neighbor just as Himself. That golden rule. So again, Christ has preeminence in the commandments of God. He obeys not only the first table, but also the second. Christ then also offers Himself as that most holy sacrifice on the altar of the cross. And having done nothing wrong, John records in the gospel, He loved His own unto the end, and then gave up His life. This is love, that a man would give up his life for his friends. And because of this, I'm not ashamed to call you my friends. Beloved, let us love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. The second half is pretty easy, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, at least in word. But before we go there, ask the question, how do I love God? With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. How did you this past week? Jesus says, these are the ones who love me. Those that hear the word of God and keep it. Again, just that simple. To love God is to love His word, and to love His word is to love that word that became incarnate and dwelt among us in Jesus. These are my brothers and sisters. These are my fathers and mothers who hear the word of God and keep it. And it's God's job to tuck that word of God's love deep inside of us, into our ears, to place it onto our mouths, to pour it over our heads, to speak it into us, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, so that we can fear and love and trust and serve and follow and hear His word to us. I love you. We heard it in the Old Testament. God said, I didn't choose you because you were more in number, because you were specialer than others. I chose you because I love you. God loves you. You who are dead in your trespasses and sins, you who are like sheep gone astray, you who sometimes forget to love God, I love you. And how do we know He loves us? Not just from His word, but also by what He's done. That He gave up His life for you. Oh, once in a while, a man might give up his life for his neighbor. But the cost of a man's soul is very expensive. Who can pay for that? Jesus did. He does. And His blood covers us up. And He's the one who presents to us God's love in living color, in word, in deed. So again, I ask, how does a Christian love God? By hearing His word and keeping it. And that goes into a whole host of different ways. In the Old Testament, to fear the Lord your God. He's first. And after He has our attention, then comes that reverent trust. And like Luther, with each of His commandments, than after we fear to know that he's God, not us, but that he doesn't destroy us. He gives himself up for us. That moves us into trusting him, to fear, to love, and to trust. This God who's given himself for you, no one else would, and bought and paid for your soul. And so now I also want to walk in his ways. And those ways are laid out for us. They always have been. Love me, love your neighbor. Very simple. Christianity is not complex. And you can love me with all your heart and all your soul. And you can love me with your mind. You can think about these things the way I've taught you to think about them from the Scripture alone. Not from your imagination, nor your conscience, nor your experience, nor what Mother Earth may tell you, or that little liver shiver feeling inside, nor your Jiminy Cricket conscience. No, only from my word will I teach you this kind of straightforward love, to follow me all the days of your life, to hear my words above all the voices of the others. So I ask you again, how do we show our love to God? In John 14, Jesus says this, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me." And what's his command? To love him with the same love he's loved you. So it's not wordplay, and it's not circular, and it's not just over and over. We need to hear and to know again and again, God loves you no matter what. Our sins don't stop that. Our doubts, our life experiences, even our waywardness, our laziness and our devotion, our absent-mindedness when it comes to daily being in his word, those don't stop his love. And I don't use this word very often, but his love is unconditional. It cost him his son's life to love you. And so he's not backing down now. No, he's got too much committed. And you're the object of his love. So, yes, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him." About our love for one another. It's because we know God's love to us in Christ that causes us to love one another. Any other reason, and I know there's a thousand others, but this is it. It's the love of Christ that compels us and keeps us loving one another. It's kind of corny, but Glenn Campbell, he was a country singer back in the 70s, and he wrote a song, and there's others. But he wrote, "Just try a little kindness toward one another. Just to be kind. If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he's sown, try a little kindness. If you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, 'You're going the wrong way. Try a little kindness.'" This past week, this gift of kindness, this loving one another as we love ourselves, I'm not making this up. I heard on the radio coming back from the funeral on Friday or Thursday, when it was, a couple has given UCLA $20 million to teach college students and grown-ups about kindness. Because studies show that when you see someone being kind to another person, it compels you to also be kind. As I recall, in kindergarten, we were taught respect and kindness. And now it costs $20 million. I thank God that somebody is finally waking up and showing people. And the story went on, but for another day. Kindness and love is a gift from God. It cost him dearly. It cost his son. It's a gift that he gives us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And to love one another as we love our own bodies? Well, absolutely. Even in Ephesians, and we know this. No one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it. When you get a cut, what do? When you get nervous, what do? When you get hungry, what do? When you're thirsty, what do? When you're tired, what do? Tell your body, bad body, don't get hungry, don't get thirsty, don't bleed. It's absurd, but God uses the absurd to let us know that I've created your body, things happen to it, but you also care for it. I've redeemed your body and I've placed a soul inside of it. So no one hates his flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ the Lord nourishes and cherishes his church. So back to Jesus then. To love your neighbor as yourself, it makes complete sense. Try a little kindness. Exercise the gift of love toward one another. Because in the end, and even in the beginning, and in the middle, now abide these three: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. May God continue to work deep in you that precious love that gave up his life for you, to cause you to love him back with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to try a little kindness with one another, just as you've been doing. And then ask the question, why? Because most don't know God's love, and they need to see it in you. So we can talk to them about Jesus' love. Because that's the story that needs to get around. Not the $20 million, but this love is free. Country songs and even the author, they'll fade away. At $20 million, they're going to burn a hole through that in a heartbeat. God's love for you and for each other, that remains forever. On account of Jesus. Amen. This peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard and keep you with Christ until the day of his coming. Amen.